You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and this show was born out of a desire to help guide parents and adolescent service professionals alike to bring them resources to where they can face critical moments with their children and clients. And I have with me today my co-host, as I'm adjusting my own volume, my co-hosts today are Linda McKinney and Tom Costanzo, founders of ASNAP, Adolescent Special Needs and Placement. Welcome.
Good morning.
Okay. Let me try that again. Okay, I've got you pulled up, and let me adjust the volume.
How's that?
That's good.
Okay. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. There we go. Now I've got you pulled up enough. All right. Our guest today actually is radio host and author of 18 books. Ray Pica has been a children's physical activity specialist since 1980. A former adjunct instructor with the University of New Hampshire. She's a nationally known expert on the effects of physical activity on the emotional development and overall well-being of children. Excuse me, I'm still trying to adjust this thing. I'm going to have to get shorter to make this work. There we go. All right, let me bring Ray up. Ray, are you with us?
I am.
That is great. It is so good to have you. And in fact, I think I just heard that you're having a heat wave out there.
Yes, we are. We're not used to the high 80s here. It's been several days now, so it's warm.
You're not used to the high 80s.
No, okay. But you are.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably about what it is here in California, and we love it that way.
And you don't consider that a heat wave, do you?
No.
Although, day-to-day. Yeah. Although you might have a little more humidity.
Yes, we do right now.
Yeah. So that may make a bit of a difference.
It does.
So well,
you can see my hair. I'm glad you can't see my hair.
Well, you know what? Actually, I can turn on the viewer phone if you'd like.
No, thank you. I did not prepare for that.
What about you, Linda?
Yeah. Very funny. I'm sitting here with an incredible black eye, one the likes of which you've never seen.
Yes.
A black eye?
Yes, I tripped in the kitchen and fell into the counter, and it's just horrible looking.
All right.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Linda. Oh, that's just terrible.
That's okay. This is radio, so that's just fine.
Right, exactly. That was what she said when I was asking her to do this. She said, well, if it's radio, okay. If it was television, no.
Right. Well, I don't know if you realize that I host my own parenting radio program, and I quite frequently joke that I have a face made for radio.
Well, this black eye definitely should be on radio, not TV.
Well, and I don't know that I agree with the last comment because in our press release, we did have a picture of you, and I think you'd do great on television.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
Well,
I wasn't fishing.
No. I realize that. Now, I mean, we've all heard that exercise is good for us. I mean, we all hear that. I mean, but why specifically does it matter so much that kids are physically active?
Well, you mean besides the fact that they were born to move? You know, I always liken it to people bringing home a kitten or a puppy and then trying to keep it contained and keep it from moving. And yet that's what we seem to be doing with children. It's been estimated that babies are spending upward of 60 waking hours a week in things, what a colleague of mine calls containerized, which is just completely unnatural. But you know, we think about not just motor development, but brain development and social-emotional development. I mean, it's all so dependent on movement and on physical activity. We talk about the childhood obesity crisis, and that term has almost been used so much that we sort of don't even hear it anymore. And yet we have some really frightening statistics right now, and we have 40% of children 5 to 8 showing at least one heart disease risk factor, including hypertension. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think the words hypertension and 5-year-old belong in the same sentence.
No, not at all.
The first signs of arteriosclerosis are showing up at age 5. Children 6 to 10 are dying of sudden cardiopulmonary arrest. I mean, I hate to be, you know, the harbinger of bad news. A recent, maybe about a year ago now, Centers for Disease Control study told us that one in three American children born, no, American children born in the year 2000 face a one in three chance of developing type 2 diabetes. One in three.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's terribly frightening. And that, type 2 diabetes, used to be called adult onset because it was so rarely seen in children. And now it's so frequent that we've changed the name of it. So lack of physical activity is part of the reason that we have, and the bad news is that we have about 300,000 deaths a year in the United States alone due to low levels of activity and fitness. The good news is that it's due to low levels of activity and fitness. You know, all those other problems that we can't do anything about in our lifetime. This is not one of those. This is something that's imminently fixable.
Right. Now, what would you attribute this to? In other words, what do you think the majority of the problem or the factors are that are bringing us to this point?
It seems to be a confluence of factors. Parents are terrified these days, and they're keeping the children indoors and quote unquote safer. There's fear of lawsuits, and so we're either dumbing down the playgrounds or taking them away completely. We have a ridiculous emphasis on academics and passing the standardized tests. Mm-hmm. So physical education and recess of all things, are going the way of the dinosaurs. And, of course, there's competition from television and computers and video games and DVDs and all of those things that didn't exist when I was a kid. So there are really a number of factors that could be attributed to.
Hi, Ray. This is Tom. We're probably in about the same age group. My wife and I talk all the time about how when we were kids, it was much more unstructured play, a lot more play, and a lot more unstructured play. Do you think that is coming into the fact that there's maybe too much parent involvement in the kids, whatever little activity they have is very structured and very locked in?
Oh, yes. Yes, Tom, absolutely. I don't quite know how all of that came about, but parents are, I mean, it's wonderful that they want to be involved in their children's lives, and it's wonderful that they're spending more time with their children, but they seem to have forgotten, if they ever knew, how important it is for children to direct their own activities, you know, to make up their own games, create their own rules, use creative and critical thinking skills, and all of those things that we learned when we played on our own, taking risks. You know, we took a lot of risks when we were young. And you need to learn those things in order to be a successful grown-up.
Absolutely.
But parents just aren't allowing it these days. It's almost entirely adult-directed, adult-chosen, adult-led. I find it very frightening.
This is Linda, and I was raised where, like, during the summertime, you got up, you got a bowl of cereal, and then you were gone for the day. You know, no shoes. You just took off, and you did your thing. And you came home when you were hungry at lunchtime, and you had to be in before the streetlights came on. I didn't raise my children that way. I was the opposite. I was very, very worried about them being out by themselves. I didn't let them walk up to the store alone. I didn't let them play out front by themselves because I was more concerned about, let's say, what could happen to them. And I kept my kids very active in other things, and they were always active. But you know, where's the line? Where's the line? You know, what is too permissive and what is too overprotective?
Were you keeping them from playing out front and all of that out of fear?
Certainly.
Yeah. Who's easier to scare than a parent? I mean, really, it's completely understandable. And we have media stories just telling us these horrible things and repeating the gruesome details over and over and over again. So it is easier to, I mean, it's easy to imagine that children are much less safe today than they ever were. But you know what? The statistics don't hold out. They don't prove that that's true. For Body, Mind, and Child, which is my parenting radio program on the internet, I interviewed Lenore Skenazy, who wrote Free Range Kids and was dubbed America's Worst Mom because she let her 9-year-old son ride the subway home in New York because he wanted to and because he was perfectly capable of doing it. And when she wrote in her column about it, it created a firestorm. So where is the line? You know, people had weighed in on this issue. So she started the Free Range Kids movement and wrote this book and discovered that if you wanted your child to be abducted, for some reason you just wanted your child to be abducted, how long would you have to set her out on the sidewalk for this to happen? And some statistician crunched the numbers for her, and it came out to something like, how long would it take before she disappeared, on average? Something like 700,000 years. I mean, it was just crazy. We're more afraid because we're living in a culture of fear. You know, people are telling us that children are abducted all the time, and the experts are weighing in, and there's all this competition, you know, with the parenting magazines, and they have to outdo each other, and one just makes us more fearful than the next. So, you know, I'm not a parent myself, and I expect that I would be hiding behind the bushes and following them around until they were at least 18 years old.
Exactly.
But, yeah, really, so I completely understand. But I think when we look at what our priorities are for our children, we have to weigh these things. We have to realize that we're scared because people are trying to make us be scared, you know, because there's a lot of misinformation floating around. And what's more important, that the children have the chance to be physically active and that they learn to be autonomous individuals who can solve problems and, manage conflict, resolve conflict, all of these things that we learned through free play. What's more important?
Well, what I was going to say is that, and I agree with you in regards to society as a whole, as far as putting out so much negative information. I mean, there's a ton of information out there. It's usually negative on the news. They don't want to tell us, you know, how many times wonderful things are happening. They want to focus more on the things that are negative, or as far as someone being abducted. And I understand that. And one of the things that I do for a living is I return those people who have been abducted. So I know that it does happen. There are certain precautions that we can take. But the reality is that, yes, statistically, it's not going to happen, you know, as much as people would like, but it still doesn't mean that you're going to put your child out on the curb with a note. But I think now, I mean, if in the amount of time that we've got, we know that they're less active. We know that there's more computer games out there. We know that there is you know, more things going on to compete with those, the child's time. What are the things that our listeners can do with their children to be able to keep them outside, to keep them more motivated, and doing more from the standpoint of play, using more of their imagination out there and playing and staying physically active?
Well, it sounds trite at this point, but the most important thing a parent can do is be a role model, to be physically active him or herself. And, you know, if you're going to be physically active, if you come in from the bike ride moaning and groaning, then that doesn't set a great example. But if it's something that you obviously enjoy and you involve your children in physical activity, they're much more likely to grow up. There's research showing that the children who are encouraged to be physically active end up being more physically active. The children who are expected to be physically active end up being more physically active. So we've got to encourage those kinds of things with both girls and boys. If we are really frightened and we want to be with our children while they're playing, we have to remember that most of the time it should be child directed and mm-hmm. child initiated. You know, follow the child's lead. Play what he or she wants to play. You know, if it feels good, you're much more likely to want to do it. I worry a lot about the organized sports and activities, because the children are being asked to do these activities for which they're not developmentally ready. And that gets frustrating. It ends up leaving a bad taste in their mouth, eventually about physical activity in general, and then they just stop participating. The other point I want to make, Alan, is that we too often think that if our children are enrolled in these organized sports, that they're getting the necessary physical activity. Right. But when you think about the amount of waiting time, they're waiting on a bench for their turn, they're waiting out in right field for the ball to show up. You know, there isn't a lot of physical activity taking place under those circumstances.
Well, and you're right with the organized sports that you talk about. I'll tell you a quick story that was a local sportscaster who was a Major League Baseball player by the name of Rex Hudler. He came to our boys' Little League game, and he addressed the kids very well. He got the kids all pumped up to play baseball, and then he turned to the parents, and he told the parents, and I thought it was wonderful, and he said, you need to be out here doing this for the right reasons. He said, these kids are out here to have fun. You know, they're at the time they were, you know, 8-9 years old. He said, you know, they're out here to have fun. You're here to support them to have fun. You're not here to try to make them into a professional baseball player by season's end. You're not here to scream and yell at the other team. You're not here to see if they can make enough money so you can retire. You are here to just support them, make sure that they have fun, and keep doing the same activities that they're doing. Coming out and playing one game a week is not going to teach them the game, and it's not going to teach them the love of the game. Go out and play catch with them. Go out and do it. And he hit on something else that you just said. And if this isn't the sport that they want, don't push them in it. If it's your sport, that's fine. You go watch a game. But if it's not theirs, times are changing. Your child may decide they want soccer. They may decide they want football, basketball, swimming, or whatever. And I thought that was a great point that he told the parents in a very aggressive fashion.
Bravo. Absolutely wonderful.
I wanted to comment, too, on it. It seems like we ask our kids to specialize too much too early on. I've been in coaching for 35 years, and I've always felt in the off season, go do something else, you know, go surf, water ski, whatever's fun for you, and get away from the sport for a while so you don't get stale. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I agree with you completely. It's, you know, we've all heard the Tiger Woods story, and And it worked out for Tiger, obviously, but we fail to realize that he is such an exception to the rule. It's there's no evidence that shows a child who starts early gets that head start, that jump start that parents are all hoping for. There is, however, research showing that children who learn skills when they're developmentally ready learn them more easily. And then, you know, we think about specializing. We want children to be well-rounded physically.
Right.
Too many of them drop out when they start specializing early. They drop out by the age of 13 because the number one reason they start is because they want to have fun, and the number one reason they quit is because it's no longer fun. Let me just, in my book, A Running Start, I listed some of the famous athletes who got considerably later starts than did Tiger.
Okay.
I just want to list some of them. Greg Norman, one of professional golf's foremost money winners, never touched a golf club until he was 16. Carrie Webb, the world's number one woman golfer, started at age 8. In his sophomore year in high school, we probably all heard the story, Michael Jordan was cut from the varsity squad. Cynthia Cooper, twice the most valuable player of the Women's National Basketball Association, picked up a basketball for the first time at age 16. And Tom Brady, three-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback, whose picture I have here in my office, I might add, had his first football experience in ninth grade as a linebacker. So it's pretty obvious that you don't have to start when you're 3 to excel. Now, these kids weren't sitting in front of a couch until they were 16. They were physically active. They were taking part in other sports. They were taking part in lots of sports. Mm-hmm. And then chose the one that they became famous for. So specialization, not a good idea. It's more likely to lead to, sports injuries that will prevent children from ever being physically active than any kind of slot in the Olympics or in the pros.
Well, I think you bring up a great point, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're saying that have them out there playing, have them out there using their imagination, and get good hand-eye contact. Work on speed, work on strength, and then later on, see where that fits best for you.
Mm-hmm. And those skills tend to come about through free play,
mm-hmm.
through unstructured play. And when children organize their own games, there's much more opportunity for continual participation, which will create the speed and the strength and all of those things that we want children to have physically.
I just wanted to point out that we have 4 kids, only one boy, 3 girls, the ones that I kept very protected, yes. But they were constantly playing, Brian especially. I mean, he would play basketball, finish with basketball, and he was on to another sport. I mean, it was nonstop. So even though, as I said, I was very protective with my kids, they played everything all day long. And since Brian was the only boy, the girls were playing princesses and things like that, and poor Brian got stuck being the only prince or the mermaid hunter or whatever the case may be. But they really did use their imagination a lot, but because of that, Brian's like a fantastic dancer because his sisters forced him to do that. And even though he complained, playing with the girls, they were still doing activities that were not sitting in front of the TV, and he enjoyed those. So it wasn't just a sport that kids can be involved in that keeps them very active.
Very good point, Linda. Thanks for bringing it up. It's not just sports. And if you think about it, how many of us continue to play football or soccer or some of those things that children are devoting their time to when we get to be older, when we get to be adults? The idea is to love movement. Children all start off life with a love of movement, and then too often it gets squashed out of them. And I bet Brian is glad now that he can dance, because it's considered a very cool thing these days.
Uh-huh. Oh, it paid off for him in high school. Definitely paid off.
Ray, you know, and because I know that we're really short on time, and I really appreciate you coming on, can you tell our listeners where they can find you? I know you mentioned you have your radio show, if you can mention that, and also, is there a website or something they can go to if they have additional questions for you?
Absolutely. My radio show is called Body, Mind, and Child, and you can find it at www.bamradionetwork.com. That's BAM as in B-A-M for body and mind. And my business website is Moving and Learning. So that's www.movingandlearning.com. And I can be emailed from either of those sites.
Okay, and in closing, what's the one thing that you would tell parents if you had a chance to tell them just one thing, parents of 10-year-old, what's the one thing that you would tell them that they need to do right now with their children?
Play. Get out and play. Let your child play, and realize that the mind and body are not separate entities. So we're not talking just about physical benefits here. There are benefits to the children's intelligence and cognitive development, brain development, all of those good things. The body was meant to move.
All right. Well, Ray, thank you so much. I now know where your site is. I will be listening. I hope everybody else will as well. And I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Ray.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
That was pretty good, huh?
Too short.
All right.
Too short,
yeah. Well, and maybe if we get a chance, we'll bring them back. All right, if everybody will stay with us for a little bit, we're going to have a brief interruption, and we will be back shortly.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
We're back, and I'm here with Tom and Linda. Wow.
Oh, we're here.
got an extra little noise there. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I really appreciated having Ray on here, and couldn't agree more with the fact that we need to have that. And I know from a transport standpoint, there are so many kids now that we are dealing with that we're picking up from home, and we have parents who are telling us they're not going to school, they sit in their room, all they do is watch television, play video games. We end up in their room picking up, not only picking up them, but we have to step over pizza boxes and various food scattered about. And when I talk to them, these kids have not gone out and played. They haven't gone out and done anything. And now they're going off to a program because they've neither got an education or really learned how to socialize with others.
A really common thread that I hear too, Alan, and just to echo that, is that these kids were active at one point or another.
Yes.
You know, they played soccer or martial arts or something. But again, to echo what Ray was saying, it was too structured. They got burned out on it, and they stopped doing it by the time they were 10, 11, 12, you know, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. And all right. And you know what? It looks like we have our second guest, Gina, is calling in. Let me see if I can catch this. Gina, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
It's so glad to have you. Let me do a little bit of an intro. I actually thought I had another minute or two. For everybody that is listening out there, this is Gina Frommer. Gina's career at the YMCA began in 2000 and has featured a wide range of success in community building and program management. She has over 9 years being involved in at a variety of different levels within the YMCA, starting from a truancy case manager and now the executive director of Bayview YMCA. Gina, we're so glad to have you on here.
I'm glad to be available for you.
All right. Now, I know that you had spoken with Jan, and we're probably, I think in November, we're also going to have Eason Ramson on as well to talk a little bit more about this. But tell us a little bit about the education and sports connection that you're doing at Bayview.
Well, many of our programs across a span of age from elementary school children through 18 years old teenagers. And so we provide a variety of physical activity and recreational projects and sports to get the kids reinvigorated. And the way we look at it is our premise is that sports is a way into education. Because a lot of our young people come in here and want to be the next Michael Jordans, but they think sports is a way out. It really is a way in, and it can help you, you know, get scholarships to college, whether you, you know, go into sports later on in life. So we use it as a tool. We use sports as a tool really into education to get kids and young people more invigorated about their futures and some of the choices that they make at a young age.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us, I know that you also have it to where it's not only that, but it's helping to build character and sportsmanship. Tell us a little bit more about and some of the other people that are working with you to do this.
You know, what differentiates the YMCA from many programs is that we believe in character development. It's at the foundation of all of our core programs. And, you know, with our core values of respect, honesty, caring and responsibility, our young people are, when they walk through our doors, experiencing that, which makes it easier for us as mentors and positive adults to kind of connect with them. We have a sports director, Tino Ellington, who is a graduate of a college that he was scholarshiped to. And so he's able to come back and tell his story about how sports enhanced really his ability to be a better thinker, to be someone who is willing to come back to his own community and give back to the young people. And so across all of our programs, whether it's the Center for Academic Reentry and Empowerment, which is a truancy reentry program, sports and recreation is intertwined in those programs, because we know that cognitively, emotionally, it helps. You become a better person. It helps you on the court and off the court. Off the court can be in the community. Off the court can be in a grocery store. You see young people that you've met on the court in the YMCA, and then you go take that sportsmanship and character development really out into the community. So it really does help in the end our community be a better place for our young people.
Hi, Gina. This is Tom. I'm in here co-hosting with Alan today with my wife, Linda, and noticed that you have four boys. How involved were they, or were they involved in the YMCA?
Wow. I started in 2000 at the Central YMCA, and it's in the heart of the Tenderloin District. Mm-hmm. And so I was a young mom, and when I was going to work, I dropped them off at the youth center there. And they went every summer to the kayaking and the day camps. They were part of, I even had an article written on us, because when I went to work, my boys were with me. And they were able to become wonderful young men at this point right now in their lives because of the experience they've had at the Y. And actually, my son, who's 25 today, who's on vacation, actually took his younger son, who's three, to play racquetball at the Marin Y. So the YMCA, you know, the culture of the Y, once you, you know, even with our young people, once they engage, it's like almost a part of your life. You know, you always be able to come back here. There are people who are going to remember you. And, you know, for my kids, I mean, the why is a huge part of their lives. And I know it's because of my experience being a single mom at that time, having to bring them, and the why having the type of programs available for families. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not only it's the children, youth, and families. And so it made a huge difference in my career. And even now, when they're all on their own, they are still experiencing the YMCA way with their experience. Their children are also involved.
All right. Well, Gene, I was going to say, and I love the YMCA, and my kids have gone for many years as well. But I'm curious about one thing, and I guess I've never looked into it, but what is the funding for the Y, and is our current financial situation as a country affecting the Y?
I would say absolutely. I think all facets of, you know, the nonprofit world, even the big YMCA, it's affected in some way. On the other hand, I think it is in the right place at the right time because of our family programming, because of the way we adapt programs to the community. I live in, the Baby YMCA is in Baby Hunters Point in San Francisco. The very diverse community around us helps shape what type of programs, what type of funding we actually go out for. So, you know, this YMCA, for example, is more on the end of social services, where we're providing family services, truancy services, you know, programs to get families more self-sufficient and back on their feet. On the other end, we're strengthening families as well. There are a lot of families that are doing very well in our community, and we have summer day camps, we have programs, dinner and a movie, so their programs kind of shape around what the community needs are, and every community is different. And so here, we look to diversify our funds. We can't just rely on one funding stream. In this day and age, many people give more when you have the type of economy we have right now. Believe it or not, people do give more. But because we're a philanthropic organization, we do look to our community for support, not only the grants from the city and the state and the federal, but we do look to our community for support, because a strong YMCA means a strong community. And so that's the goal and the premise that we go out and reach out to our community partners and the foundations, and we really try to diversify our funds. In times like this, you need to do that. They might be given a little less, but they are looking for new organizations that they can partner with to be a filter to the community of funds, because the ultimate goal is to really support the communities that we're in.
Absolutely. Linda?
Gina, this is Linda McKinney, and I'm very glad to be speaking with you today. I was wondering, as a single mom, and you, a single mom of boys, I know you did drop them off at the Y, but is that where the physical education ended? Did you play with them, like go out and throw the ball with them? Were they still very active once they were home? And if so, like what kind of things were they involved in?
Oh, man. I mean, because my kids went to Catholic school at the time, and so there were a little bit more opportunities for them. They had the sports leagues, and they had, you know, the evening and the indoor soccer. So because they're boys, and they were very active in a lot of different things. And also, you had the community sports, the Pop Warner football, and the community rec and park basketball leagues. Because I've always worked in the community, I've always been abreast of all the other things that happen outside of the YMCA as well. And so, you know, the Y provided more of the recreational. My kids had never gone kayaking down the White River rafting.
Right.
They had never done that. They'd never gone camping up in the mountains. You know, we didn't have those type of programs in our community. I had to go to the Y for those more adventurous, exploring type activities where they got out of their community. And one of the things we see now, working with young people, you know, we need to send them out so they can see that there's a big world out there. You know, Yosemite. See the sights. See that there's so much more than just the block that you live on and the street that you live on and the community that you live on. So for me as a mom, being exposed to those outside and scholarships that were able to help me at the time to get my kids off out of their community, in addition to that, to working with the park and rec departments in my community, the Pop Warner, you know, and getting the boys active and engaged. And I was a very active mom in their school. I was a very active mom in their lives. And their dad was definitely a part of that as well. But I had to be the one that was the driver of, getting my boys so they can have a future and make good choices in their lives. And so the why was a part of that, but also I looked to my community for support as well. And I know that many families in Bayview have to do that as well. We can't be everything for everyone, but we definitely provide type of programs that expose our children to things that they're not normally exposed to in their communities.
Well, and absolutely. And one of the things that I like most is the community teen centers. And when I was a kid, that's where I went. And I think, there's a lot of kids that we end up dealing with in the at-risk youth industry that they aren't going to those places, and they can go there. And again, the parents and the professionals out there that are listening, the professionals, if you have a family whose child is kind of just hanging out, they're hanging out on the street, they're not involved in these types of activities, it's right there. There's a YMCA almost everywhere for them to be able to go to the teen center. They're going to meet other teens that are going to be more motivated to learn and to grow, to increase their personalities, to increase their ability to communicate with others rather than just hang out. Because I think that you have the when the mind has too much free time, I think it's going to wander, and it's not always to the right place.
You're absolutely, absolutely correct. I know, in our inner cities, the hours between 3 and 8 p.m. are the most at-risk hours for our young people. And our biggest challenge can be our biggest opportunity, getting our young people through the doors. And a lot of times we have kids that are standing outside the door. I'm not going in there. They got too many rules. And, but once they come in, they're realizing that they're exposed to so many opportunities and youth development principles and leadership that guide our programs. And, any door is the right door. We feel that, any one of our community programs in Bayview, if a young person walks through the door, we have a set of goals that we come together to say, we want our young people to graduate. We want them to be contributors to their community. We want to make sure they understand what kind of choices they have. And the beauty of a teen center is that you hire people that have been there and done that, per se, who have gone through some of the things our young people can identify with, who go out and go to college and come back and want to be a part of helping to shape some of the futures of our young people. Ultimately, it's their decision. We got 6 people standing on a corner, but I got 30 of them in here.
Right.
And eventually, some of them will connect with each other. We have a new music studio in the Y. Did you know that? They're making beats now. Even if it's that particular bubble to get them in the door, once they come in, they experience so much more because safety is critical. We want people to feel safe. The street is the street. Coming into the YMCA, you have to come in and sign a code of conduct. You have to be a certain way and understand that we're here to help you. And I think young people are challenged by that because it's like coming home in a way, because you're going to be guided and, they want that networking. But one of the tricks that I have found out in my working and developing and opening up teen centers in this city is that it needs to be a place to hang too.
Right.
Young people need to, whether they're coming, there's structured hanging, there's structured networking, there's structured peer support that they would get when they come through the door. So it's not feeling like it's so structured, but it's a community teen center where you can meet young people on the court, which is in the teen center, and off the court. If there's something going down in the community, you might say, as we've experienced on many occasions, hey, don't mess with her. We play basketball together. We go to the teen center together. She's cool. That prevents a lot of drama out in the community because we're creating this experience inside of a building that transcends really out into the community. So, it's a challenge though, because you can be doing these wonderful things and the young people that you really want to reach are not walking through your doors. And you're getting all the borderline kids who, might have a chance and will have a chance. And
right.
Once they experience some guidance and take off on their own cognitive growth and development, believe me, they're going to be okay. We're trying to reach some of the ones who are not at borderline. They're the ones at each end of the spectrum. And some of those we'll never reach, but the ones that we do, it's a great opportunity. And I know In many programs, whether the YMCs or not, we're touching a lot of lives and changing a lot of lives. So it's our biggest challenge, but with that, there's a huge opportunity as well.
Well, Gina, you mentioned about the music studio, and what are some of the other things that a lot of people wouldn't realize or wouldn't know that the YMCA is doing this, which is one of the things that is drawing in a wider variety of kids?
Right. You know, I think you have the traditional Y where people think about swim and gym and day camps and those kind of experiences. I think what has shaped our YMCA here in Bayview is the challenge, the piece that we know we have to get young people in the doors. And so we're trying to do non-traditional things with those traditional foundational goals. And so the creation of our music studio, we have 30 kids that joined our teen center. We just opened up this past year. Come on in for that particular bubble. They mm-hmm. wanted to make beats. They wanted to meet professionals. And when you think about a ladder, right? You get a kid in a club at a certain level, and, you know, they don't have any skill. They're just coming in to kind of hang out and figure out how they can be a part of it. Maybe they think they can do more. But our goal is to get them to really know that they can do more. And through coming into this music club here, this music studio, we're able to really begin to develop skills. So we might have an internship program that comes out of that, or an apprenticeship program. So we have, they're working with the radio stations. And the next ladder, you know, step up the ladder is they might get a job over the summer working in K-Pool. So, you know, you bring them in through that club, and whether it's the music studio or Center for Academic Reentry and Empowerment, which is a truancy reentry program that, you know, young people, you know, this young woman was 17, came in here with 2 credits, and she had made up her mind, she wanted to get herself together and get her high school diploma. Now, you know, a 17-year-old can't get a diploma with 2 credits.
No.
What we've done through this program is she was able to gain an immense amount of credits in the year she was here, get placed on an internship for a job, and then she's gone back to get her GED. So she put herself on a path. She didn't know how she was going to do it, but through the support here, and this is a very non-traditional program for YMCA to be able to support through the Department of Children, Youth, and Families in the San Francisco Unified School District, a program where kids can be brought in off the street. We can run their through the school district system, find out where they're at, what credits they have, and get them on a map to graduation. And this is has been one of our most successful programs here over the past year. And Ethan Ramson oversees that program. He definitely has a story to tell those young people about choices. And so, you know, with our middle school programs, we have, it's like sort of a rites to passage. You know, in middle school, you know, kids are just trying to get their head wrapped around going to high school.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that they're looking at all the critical steps and choices they have to make. And we do that in a myriad of ways with the young people, whether it's, you know, it's a strong academic core support program, but there's also, you know, peer building, community involvement, engagement. We have a green program now. So there's a lot of non-traditional programs that they don't look like traditional wise, but we get them in the door, and it's meeting their strengths. It's working on their interests, and once we find out that, we're going to create a track that take that kid on that track where to build more skill and move them towards graduation and ultimately to college. So our biggest thing here is getting them in the door.
Oh,
once we get them in the door, we really feel like we can keep them here with the programs, and our sports programs have blown off the map. We've seen 2,000 kids this past year in our sports and recreation programs at the schools and here at the YMCA and in the community, our junior giants leagues, our flag, you know, football, our peewee, with the younger t-ball leagues and stuff. And so, you know, again, we've grown. We've seen 6,000 families this past year. I think about it, I'm like, wow.
It's a lot of involvement.
Wow.
In the next 5 years, I want to see 12,000 families.
Wow.
In some capacity through this YMCA. And the way we look today, we'll not look, you know, 5 years from now, we'll look different because our community is ever-changing and growing and getting better. And so we're going to create programs to meet their needs.
Which is great. Now, and you know what, I got to tell you, I really wish that we would have had more time. One of the things that I'm glad is that we're going to have you guys back in November. So we're going to be able to go into a lot of things. But I know Linda's got a question for you before we let you go.
Sure, Linda.
I just wanted to say that it sounds like the why is a hidden jewel that a lot of people don't know about and should. And I wanted to know if we could clone you and have you come to Southern California and start up a whole bunch of them here.
You know, that's one of my areas of expertise, startup, I tell you.
Well, that's why I want to clone you.
You know what? It is a hidden treasure, for sure.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I agree. And so are our youth. Our youth have hidden treasures, and we try to bring those out. But I think as we continue to grow, we're a young YMCA. We've been in Bayview 10 to 11 years, and now we're in the middle of a renovation and a capital campaign to do our building. You know, support from the community has been outstanding. The San Francisco 49ers and Giants have been incredible. And so, you know, I would say, you know, partnering is the way to go. Partnering with your the community mm-hmm. and agencies and foundations have been wonderful support for the Y, and it is truly a hidden treasure. And I think families, as the community has demographically changed, we are definitely in a position to meet and serve some of the needs of our families in our community. And it's been really heartfelt for me because I grew up in Bayview, Hunters Point. And I grew up right on top of the hill up there, and I see a lot of the families that I grew up with, and it also helps that they see, young people see someone who had grew up here and came back to support. You know, I'm an example, mm-hmm. and I love mm-hmm. that about what I do. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. I love talking about the why, and I love talking about our young people, and it's I want all whys, every why in every community. I know they do some incredible work. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Again, if anybody has any additional questions for Gina, and actually, why don't you go to our site, go to answers4thefamily.com. We'll get those to her. Also, if you email them to us, we hope to have her back as well as Eason Ransom. They'll be on in November, and we will pass the questions on and ask them at that time. Again, Gina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you so much, you guys. Right. Thank you. Wonderful talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.